Hello, listeners. We're here this evening with Michael Hodesch, a longtime Cincinnati icon of unusual artistic collectibles, and in particular, a major dealer in the world of vintage posters. Welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you, and I'm so glad to be here.
It's nice to have you. Mike, how did you get started in this poster business?
I got started actually through something I bought at an auction. And I bought the archives from a calendar company. And that put me into the world of ephemera. And as a result, I got interested in posters. And I started buying posters and finding posters. And here I am 40-plus years later.
And tell our listeners about the word ephemera. Talk to us about that.
Sure. Ephemera is something that was made to be used up. A newspaper, a ticket, and a poster. So these things had a limited life and weren't supposed to be around today. There's two reasons a poster is valuable. One reason would be its beauty and who did it, and probably second would be the condition.
Let's back up a second. I'm kind of curious. It's a word that we hear quite often, but what exactly is a poster?
A poster is something that was made, like I said, to be used up and not made to be framed. The best example of that is a poster you'll see on the wall of a building. They're both prints, but the print as you know it was made to be framed, and a poster never was.
Okay.
It was made to be used up.
And how are posters made?
Well, there's a long history of poster making. During the mid to late 1800s is really when the world of posters flourished. And the Europeans were the ones who, I always call it, respected the poster. They let the artist sign the poster, which was important. Where in America, it was important who published and printed the poster. So you might have posters drawn by great artists, but you don't know who it is.
No signature.
In America.
You know, Mike, I want to stop you right there. What pops into my mind is Strobridge and its connection
right.
to Cincinnati.
Right.
Talk to us about that.
Strobridge was a company that functioned, I'm trying to think of the earliest thing I've seen, somewhere around the 1880s. And they were the premier printer in America.
And they were right here.
They were like the number one on the charts. They did publishing in London, they did publish in New York, and they did publish in Cincinnati. They did some very, very famous posters, some very famous magic posters, some very famous circus posters. The museum has a collection of posters, and they did do a show. It was wonderful. They also did posters for vaudeville.
Speaking of vaudeville then, and you mentioned circus and so forth, talk to me about subject matter and its relation to the poster business. I know from visiting you at your warehouse and from knowing you for years, you have an eye that is remarkable. And anybody that knows Michael Hodesch would agree with me on that. But talk to us about that eye and the appeal of the subject matter on a poster.
I think what happens with a poster is people on their own discover the really wonderful posters. They have a magic about them that makes them alive, brings them to life. In Europe, there were probably 10, 15 great artists. And like I said, they all got credit for their work. In America, people would think of Norman Rockwell, but they wouldn't think of him as an artist for posters. they would think of him as the cover of Saturday Evening Post. But he was a poster artist, and he did some great posters. There was an artist named Ben Shahn, and Ben Shahn did great posters. Probably one of his most famous posters is called We French Workers, and it has a bunch of people with their arms up in the air standing against the wall. It was a very, very strong poster.
Regarding collectible posters, talk to our listeners, if you would, about the range of value, and cover the entire range for me, if you would.
It's all about subjects, because all posters are prints, but prints aren't posters. So when you're in the world of posters, there's just every subject you can think of, from a circus poster to a army poster to
food industry. I've seen some fabulous food posters in your warehouse.
Yeah. I right now have a couple Mazola oil from the 30s, and they're beautiful.
And talk to us about price on some of these items.
Well, probably if you want to go scare yourself, the most expensive poster, I think, is a Toulouse-Lautrec, and I think it's valued about $250,000. It was just a poster. Toulouse-Lautrec never did paintings, but he would draw on a napkin or a tablecloth or whatever he found, pieces of paper, and that from that it became a poster. So with other posters, they always have a maquette, which is kind of the first rendering of a poster, and a lot of times they found those. And they were on board. I don't think a lot of them were on canvas. Most of them were on board.
You're referring to the artist's original work that would
become
the poster.
Right, or a kind of a in process. Because for one piece, he might draw four or five different maquettes. And it's funny, most of those aren't worth as much as the poster, which you would think it would be the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. What genres are collectible? And what's popping into my mind is, being a child of the 60s, if you will, what about the Fillmore East concert posters or the Woodstock posters or that generation? How collectible are those posters?
Oh, very collectible. And they demand a good price. There's actually just one group who have all of the stuff. They bought out other people who dealt in that business of tickets, backstage passes, banners, stickers for your car, and they bought up almost all of it. A few years ago, a Woodstock poster was $1,000. The Woodstock poster with the guitar and the bird. Today, it's probably worth $1,500. And that is the thing about posters. You have two things with a poster. You have a piece of art to look at, hang on the wall and enjoy, and you have something that will probably appreciate.
Michael, your experience shines through in so many ways, and it's really a pleasure to have you here with us this evening, and I thank you so much for coming down being with us.
Well, thanks, Stuart.
Michael's shop is located in the heart of Pleasant Ridge. He's on Ridge Avenue, near the intersection of Ridge and Montgomery, in the great blue building with the unusual front door, and you'll know it when you get to Hodesh Land, as many of you are familiar.
And they can call me.
And give Michael a
call. If they want to call me, and I'll meet them.
The sign's on the door, and you'll have a feast for your eyes when you go visit Michael. This is Stuart Holman for Around Cincinnati.